You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Okay, welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and today we have some interesting topics here on the DLNR, and we've talked quite extensively about the DLNR and some of the shenanigans that are being pulled and their management practices and allowing nonprofits to engage and use the resources of the DLNR. But as they say, rust never sleeps. Well, the DLNR, really, we think they're asleep, but they really, like rust, they're constantly eroding things away. And what we're going to talk about today is the eroding of the rights of fishermen or the public access issues. We're going to be talking about the Atman rule change and banning fishing, overnight fishing at Kapapa Island, the increase of mooring fees, and on. So what I have today is I have a couple people in with me, and they are Janet Mandrell. She's with the Mackay Society. Jeannie Lee, who's a concerned citizen, and like most of you, Jeannie is concerned, but unlike most of you, Jeannie is going to take an action, and she is becoming vocal about this, and we'll talk extensively about her concerns, what she plans on doing in the future about this and addressing it. Then we have Mr. Wong Chai Gu, who is also a member of the Altapak Fishing Club and fisherman. And like myself, I don't fish anymore, but I used to, and I know the importance of having access to fishing. And I know that as things are going on, you take, for example, a while back I wrote in the Hawaii Fishing News. And by the way, you can pick up Jeannie's article in the Hawaii Fishing News, this coming issue or the past issue or this issue?
In the coming January issue.
Okay, coming January issue. That's a Hawaii Fishing News. So make sure you go out and get a copy of that, and it'll bring you up to date. But as you've seen, we've written in the Hawaii Fishing News about the closure of Kaina Point and other places. So anyway, having said all that, good morning, Janet and Jeannie and Wong.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All righty. Rather than carrying over, tell us, Jeannie, what do we have that you're concerned with, some of the concerns?
Okay. First of all, I want to introduce myself a little bit. I'm a fishing woman, and I want to say that personally, I don't have political interests, nor do I want to pursue a career in politics. I'm stepping forward because I'm a fishing person looking for justice. I hope that with my actions, things can be done in the right way. About December 11, about 10 days ago, Land Board passed DLNR's administrative rule changes. At first, I was interested in the issue because I was interested in, all of a sudden they say, we are going to ban overnight fishing and camping on Kapapa Island. As a fishing woman, I'm concerned about fishing access. But when I studied it further, I was horrified by the statewide negative impacts of the new rules. I was further terrified by how DLNR lied to the public in order to change the administrative rules. So I would like to tell everybody first that I'm organizing a rally on December 28, Monday, 4 to 6 p.m. at the state capitol. We are questioning the rulemaking process of the DLNR, who deceived the public in order to pass the new rules. We are letting the public know what happened. We are protesting that despite the overwhelming opposition in the rule changes, Land Board still passed the rule anyway. So here we would like to bring awareness that everybody in the state of Hawaii is going to suffer from DLNR's recreational renaissance plan. And then I will tell you more about what the issues are really are.
Okay. Janet?
Hi. I'm with the Mackay Society, and our goal is to preserve a maritime lifestyle for the residents of Hawaii. And so we've been in existence since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the members initially were members of had boats, and primarily had boats in the Alawai Harbor. And I was fortunate enough to encountered some retired professional people who knew how to plan for a public facility, and we created a plan in order to get federal funding in 2000 to revitalize the waterfront, in particular the Alawai. That became the first goal. But the government had other ideas, the administration. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And consequently, their tactic was to get you involved in a series of meetings, which kind of would walk out the timeline until the next legislative period, in which you would get overwhelmed again in the legislation, as they would once again try to privatize it. They've tried to convince everybody that privatization, government really doesn't work, and thus you need to hand it over to the private entities. And there's a famous Nobel Prize winner economics named Joseph Stiglitz, and in 2000 he won the Nobel Prize, and he had made a statement, and he said, "Oh, it's easy to privatize. You just hand it over to your friends, hand whatever public assets over to your friends."
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not only going on here in Hawaii, but it's also going on all over, wherever they've convinced people that instead of fixing the government, we should simply privatize it, mm-hmm. and people are believing it.
And that's what's occurring here in Honolulu or in Hawaii with our harbors, with our fishing access closure, and seem to be a taxing. They're not an official tax, but by increasing the fees. How is it going to affect the average fisherman, for example? This rule, there's a plan B, the Renaissance plan. Can you explain it real quick, or either of you? How is that going to affect this entire process with people having access boating fee?
Well, the Renaissance Plan A was designed for the legislature, and it didn't pass. And so Laura Thieland and her dream team, which was made up of the directors or administrators of each of the divisions, participated. And this was the dream team. And came up with Plan B, which essentially was Plan A, but they just stripped out the mechanisms for the bonds. Actually, the Kahi Lagoon project, because they ran into information, they hadn't done their homework, and so the Kahi project didn't get included in Plan B because of some federal property issues. So what has happened is they have decided that their plan is the way it's going to go. They need to raise fees, introduce fees, because the legislature doesn't have the money to give to them. Now, I do not know if they've also what federal funding applications are underway, but if they're looking, you know, when they need money, they're going to look to the easiest thing to do, and that mm-hmm. is raise fees.
Mm-hmm.
Ignore the public and raise fees.
But that's not...
Okay.
That's not to say, when we say they're raising fees, what about the money they have? Does it bring in the question their improper management? Does that become a problem? So, but anyway, for the two of you, they're assuming, and we shouldn't assume that, well, they're going to raise the fees because they want to tax. They have squandered our monies that we have. They don't give us proper coverage now, DLNR and what have you. So
this is true.
So this is, you know, I want to caution everybody out there that when we say they got Plan B and they want more money and they were denied, they've just squandered what they do from the start.
Correct.
So that's the big problem right now.
I want to give you some example about how the DLNR squandered the money. Because we are interested in the wildlife sanctuary issue in terms of like fishing rights on Kapapa Island. We start to look into that. And in terms of, they said that the Kapapa Island, they said they raised the money. Now they legalize to kayak business on the wildlife sanctuary in order to collect user fee from the tourists and local residents renting kayak to go to wildlife sanctuary. And they say the issue is the money is going to conservation. In the past, how they did the conservation, I can give you a lot of example. How they do the conservation on Chinaman's Head is that there is the same bird they are trying to protect, which is the shearwater. And they thought that as long as they eliminate all the rats, then they can protect the shearwater. Then after they eliminate all the rats, the ants show up. So there are more ants biting the shearwater. So right now, there's no single shearwater on the Chinaman's Head. The other example is on Makapu Lighthouse. They plant a lot of trees doing the landscaping. Right now, there's no single tree survive from Makapu Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. So how do they, and then why do people have to pay for their poor management? That's the issue. Why should we support them to raise more money for their incapacity for doing their job?
Their inability to do their job as they are, as taxpayers. The legislators have given them money, and I question and have questioned quite often their inability to manage. And we got 1,000 items. But Janet, you have something to add to that?
Well, it always comes down to who pays. And with regards to, you have several ways to fund things. You can fund them through the general fund, which is where the taxpayer money goes. In the case of the small boat harbor system statewide, it is funded through something called the Boating Special Fund. And the Boating Special Fund was created, essentially the land was given to the people, okay, they already own it, but it's not fair to have the general public pay for a specialized recreational activity that's so expensive, such as recreational boating. So the deal is, the social contract between the boating public and the legislature and the executive, the governor, is we have the land, we will pay for our fund. And we do that through a boating special fund, and we put fees into the boating special fund. There's also other things that go into it, such as federal funds, the Boating Safety Act, and the marine fuel tax, and that's, you know, taxes on gasoline and diesel. And commercial fees. We have commercial activity in all the harbors except Kehi Small Boat Harbor and Alawai Harbor. Those are the last recreational harbors in the state that are exclusively recreational, and people don't have to compete with tourists to get up for ocean access, to get out on their boats.
Mm-hmm.
So the boaters have a special fund, which is supposed to, you know, carry the can on their fund. The problem begins when boating has decided, unlike state parks and other divisions, not to do a comprehensive plan for each facility. They need to go to the surrounding community and the stakeholders and develop a community-approved stakeholder master facility plan for how the people want to use their harbor and the land surrounding their harbor to pay for individual facilities. And then the money collected in there off of those lands needs to be used in that facility first to maintain it and all that other stuff.
Right. Well, you know, let me give you an example of mismanagement in regards to the shearwater and the other petrels that would possibly nest out there. There is a concern with collapsing kayak or a human being, didn't have to be any, walking and collapsing, because these are birds that live underground. So no one's disputing that, and I'm really into birds. But when you say the fishermen are not welcome, but then you open it up to kayakers, that same island, that smacks in the face. I would say, you know what I would call that, the scientific term? A lie. Really. Because it doesn't make sense. You proclaim that you're doing this for the management of the species, and so by managing the fishermen, you keep the fishermen out, and then you increase the kayakers from what was the original number, basically?
They propose 100 visitors per island per day.
Okay.
Now they increase it to 200 visitors per island per day.
So 200 visitors, that's 2 feet per person. That means possibly going on the islands and collapsing the... And also, what about bringing their... If you're really talking about management, the kayakers are going to bring seeds because they're going to step on the dirt on shore, and then they're going to bring seeds out there and going to contaminate it. They're going to bring their wrappers, right? And they're going to bring, and wherever human beings go, guess who you find following? A little furry guy called the rat. And, right? And so this is a big lie, but even bigger than that, we have officers, game wardens, we'll call them, that are riding two to a car now, and they've spent money on these units, the vehicles they have, and the guns and the training.
Are you speaking of DOCARE officers?
DOCARE, that's the only one. Okay. There's no other entity other than NOAA, but we're talking about DLNR. So,
okay.
And DLNR officers are game wardens. There in Mililani, there's one guy, his truck parks on the side of the road there, being used by nothing. Why don't they sell that truck? So what's happening, one officer goes to the house of the other officer, picks him up, and now they're riding two to a truck. How many hours are they spending driving from Officer A to Officer B's house to pick him up? Then they go back to their patrol. Then they got to repeat that, okay? The other truck is just sitting there, and what's the cost of a four-wheel drive, fully souped up, light bars and all nowadays? At least $20,000, $30,000,
$40,000.
Now imagine, that's management right there, but the fishermen should be concerned, and I applaud each of you for coming up with this idea. We saw it with the fish hatcheries recently, Nu'uanu Reservoir and Laura Thielen is creeping. But there's one thing I want to share with you that the fishermen, why you should be listening to Janet and Jeannie and Wong, is that, and myself, and I will take an active role in out there, and we'll talk about it next week as well. But what you should be concerned with is that you, at the current pace, you're not going to have any fishing rights. It will only be for the elite. You'll only be able to go fishing, have access to fishing, if you got lots of money to pay boat access or to moor your boat. Because the general public is going to be iced out. And it's what? You know the value of a mooring. It's at a premium, right?
Well, the fees are supposed to cover the cost of the service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or the facility. And so... the approach that DNLR has taken, or DOE Board, the Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation, the net result of you're turning recreational boating, at least, for ocean-going vessels, into a rich man's sport. Okay, that's how it started out, you know, a long, long time ago. Only the rich had recreational boats. If you were on the water, otherwise you were a working man,
right?
You know, you were pulling up oysters, crabs, or something like that. Nobody had the kind of money to build a boat and have an engine back in the 30s and the 40s, and you know,
You were doing it for subsistence or working, or
right.
But you didn't get on a boat and with slippers on and go out and sit in the sun to catch a marlin, huh?
Well, no, you didn't, because outboard engines weren't invented until, or you know, until what, the 30s, I think, or 40s. You know, that's late 40s. Okay, so I mean, this is a recreational boating is a relatively, you know, new sport to just enjoy the water.
Yeah. So if I add to your rich man sport, even those some of you out there, well, I never plan on buying a boat and I'm going to afford one. But a rich man sport simply, and I think Janet is correct, and let's just go out to Portlock. Try to gain access to the shoreline. Either you have $1 million home, multi-million dollar home, and you can have access, or you know someone, or you, right?
Right.
So you got to have money just to fish from shore in many cases.
Talking about lies, I want to elaborate on that. In terms of, I want to bring it back to how the recreational renaissance plan B is going to affect fishermen and fishing assets. Okay, I want to talk about Kapapa Island for one example and the Kaena Point for the other example. Kapapa Island, the DONR mislead public attention to conservation. I have to clarify that Kapapa Island, we have four local families, and Alapak Fishing Club and other fishing club members go to Kapapa Island for 80, 100 years, and they are the people who take care of Kapapa Island. Generally, fishermen respect the natural resources and the environment. So I saw the Chin's family packing out bags of, they dig out the doo-doo. You know, the tourists come and they made a doo-doo. They mm-hmm. dig out the doo-doo. They have bags, so many bags of the doo-doo, and they ship it back to Oahu. The other one, doing the conservation for the years of fishermen fishing there, we have never seen DLNR clean up the island. We have never seen that. So now they said, okay, they on the surface, they must mislead public attention to conservation, and they said fishermen are the seabird killers. They want to ban overnight fishing and camping for conservation. But when we look at the testimony, we realize that they announced the plan on October 27. On October 3rd, they have already sent their draft to the kayak companies. Mm-hmm. Before, there are no rules to regulate kayak business on the wildlife sanctuary. Now they propose a rule to legalize kayak company. So it's all about money. The recreational plan B is all about money. But they sacrifice fishermen. And they said it's a conservation. Yet on the other hand, they want to increase the number of visitors touring the wildlife sanctuary. This is a pattern of DLNR. In the Kaena Point example, they said that right now fishermen go to Kaena Point because fish bite at night. Overnight fishing and camping is fishing access. So they say, oh, fishermen have fishing access to Kaena Point. It's not true. When you go there, you fish overnight. You are not allowed to bring cooler. So where are we going to put our fish? You are not allowed to bring backpack. You are not allowed to bring sleeping gear. You are not allowed to bring blanket, pillars, sleeping bag. So what kind of government agency would put this kind of inhuman treatments to the citizen, the local residents, saying that you can go, but you are not allowed to bring sleeping gear. So that's restricted access to Kaena Point. But when we find out about what this is all about, we found out that they have already drafted a plan in 2008 that they want to collect camping permit fee from tourists. They try to develop Kaena Point. So in other words, is that they try to restrict public, the local access to the natural resources so that they can get money for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so they ban overnight fishing and camping on Kapapa Island because they said fishermen pose harm to conservation. But when I look at the H4 submittal, which is, you know, after the public hearings and testimony, they have to write something to say, oh, we address public concerns. This is what they wrote. They said, commercial kayak users to the ISET constitute by far the biggest human impact. Most are the individuals that rent from the commercial vendors and visit the ISET on their own. And they also said there's a strong indication that the cumulative effects of impacts are not determined only by the nature of activity, but by the volume of visitor. Now they're proposing, they know that Kaya user pose the biggest human impacts on a wildlife sanctuary. They know that the number of visitors it matter about how they impact wildlife sanctuary. But in the paragraph below, they say another person said, then why are you increasing the number of visitors going to the wildlife sanctuary? They contradict with itself, saying that DOFA disagree with the sentiment that all commercial activity have negative impacts. In fact, our experience as managers have found many cases where commercial activity result in improved management assistance from the users. So on one hand, in the same page, they're saying kayak users pose the highest impact, the volume really matter. On the other hand, in the same page, when they address the public hearing, they say, oh, it's not an issue. Commercial activity actually result in better management. So I wonder, why are we supporting DLNR's conservation effort to pay these people's salary? They don't even know what they are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They are contradicting to themselves.
Now, you have a situation where you actually have a recording of Laura Thielen. Real quickly, what is the conflict or the contradiction that she gave one statement to you, mm-hmm. and then later said something completely different?
Okay,
real quickly.
In the Hawaii Kai Neighborhood Board, I participate, and basically Laura Thielen was trying to gain support from the neighborhood, Hawaii Kai Neighborhood Board, saying that they want to charge parking fee for visitors going to Makapu Lighthouse Trail. Makapu Lighthouse Trail has no facility, not even a restroom. Even though the fee are not for the local residents, Hawaii Kai resident board raised concern. What about blocking traffic from people who have to pay, you know, block out the road, having to pay the permit?
Mm-hmm.
And what about our family visiting from the mainland? So everybody against that. I asked Laura Thielen a question saying that 2 weeks ago, okay, you were restricting Kaina Point. 2 weeks ago, you were restricting, you're talking about banning overnight fishing and camping on Kapapa Island. Now you're talking about Makapu Lighthouse Trail. I'm concerned, you know, are we going to take away all the fishing assets from the fishermen? And one of my friends tape recorded, and I want to play you the audio clip.
The contradiction. And so Thielen then tells you one thing, and then
in the actual land board meeting,
okay,
what is written down is the opposite of what she promised us.
So the this situation is it's unfolding, guys. What is really going on? You have nonprofits. Take for example, I've had an experience. This is it. Okay, go ahead and play it.
So I would like to share with you
So it was a little statically. Real quickly, what did she say then, that there was always access, 24 hours access at Kaena Point at all?
She said, because, you know, in the context of a neighborhood board meeting, she is saying that her plan is not going to affect local residents. Mm-hmm. It's only affect tourists. Okay, right. So that's her basis of getting support. Now she said that Kaena Point, you have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week access to Kaena Point. On Kapapa Island, we heard the concerns from the public hearings. We are going back to map up area for camping. Fishing will continue. She said that fishing will continue. We need a solution. Where is the solution? We need to work together to find the solution. Now, in the land board meeting, because what's actually written down is that overnight, they are banning overnight fishing and camping. So I actually make a mistake, because I thought land board is supposed to regulate DLNR, because land board is supposed to be a third party evaluating their proposals and weighing the pros and cons and seeing, you know, make suggestions. So I wasn't able to make it for the testimony to the land board meeting. So I send the audio clips as well as my written testimony to the secretary of land board, who directly forward my audio clip to Laura Thielen. Mm-hmm. So during the land board meeting, Laura Thielen pretended to ask her staff, saying that, "Didn't you tell me that we're going to map out the area for fishing?" Staff said, "I never said so." Laura Thielen said, "Oh, I got confused." And then the issue was dropped. Mm-hmm. The issue was dropped, and still until now, overnight fishing and camping on Kapapa Island is not allowed.
So she lied to you. She told you originally that it would not be banned. It would be open 24/7, and then she turned around and introduces a new rule to the land board, which they pass. Okay. So basically, that's consistent with what she has been doing. And what I wanted to share with, and Janet, you can chime in, the general public out there, you fishermen, now, you're probably going to sit back and let someone else fight your battles for you. But if you believe that you have to be sold and then prodded and cajoled into getting involved and protecting your own interests, I can only say it's a laughing matter as far as from my perspective. If you're just going to sit back and let Jeannie and Janet and others fight the battle when you see what is occurring. So, Janet and Jeannie, what do you plan on doing, and what do you want the fishermen out there to do to join in with you? How can they help you, or not help you? How can they join in to help themselves?
Okay. As I mentioned, that I am just an average fishing woman, and I see something is not right. And DLNR tried to raise $8 million from the recreational renaissance plan B, and their pattern of restricting fishermen's access in order to promote commercial use of the land for its own benefit is very consistent. So I'm predicting that if we don't take action right now, you know, one of the frustrations I'm encountering is that there's a myth among fishermen that as long as my spot is not taken away, it is none of my business. Mm-hmm. So people think, "I don't fish on Kapapa Island, why do I care? I don't fish on Kaena Point, why do I care?" You have to realize this is a statewide strategy of restricting fishing access in order to generate funding for the DLNR. Mm-hmm. What I plan to do is on December 28th from 4 to 6 p.m., that is the Monday after the holiday, December 28th, I want to organize a rally for the fishermen to step forward saying that you should not treat us this way. This is not right. Mm-hmm. We have the right. We are not only questioning about the action. Of course, we are disappointed about the outcome. We are not only questioning about the impact of the outcome. We are questioning about the process, how they pass the rule. Mm-hmm. For example, DLNR reported to the land board saying that they have overwhelming support from the public.
I thought that was interesting. Yes, I had. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt. The rules have to go through a sunshine process, and at each of the statewide hearings, there was reported in all the local newspapers that there was overwhelming opposition to Plan B. And what I find very interesting is the fact that no alternatives to Plan B were ever articulated. Mm-hmm. She had hinted that she would start to close facilities. Her arguments are, and they're valid arguments. She doesn't have the money to, you know, clean up the bathroom. She doesn't have this. And then she goes on to say, and we are going to, our option is to close places. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, you know, let's fully explore all the options in order to get us through this economic crisis. Mm-hmm. Okay? Might we close places on a seasonal basis? What does closure actually look like? So there are ideas out there in the public, but consistently what DNLR does is they say, we're going to go out to public hearing, we're going to listen to the public. And they don't. I mean, they you know, are there, they're present. Mm-hmm. And then you get the feeling it's like they say, thank you for sharing, and they've not heard a word you've said. Mm-hmm.
Again, for this purpose, you're having on the 28th mm-hmm. of December
yes.
a rally.
Monday, December 28th, 4 to 6 p.m. at State Capitol.
Okay.
For ocean recreation users.
But anybody can come in and yes. participate, right?
Right.
You're asking for support on that. Now, how do they contact you to get involved, to let you know that they're going to come? What do you want them to do? Do you want them to bring cardboard signs, or do you want them to... What do you want to do them to do out there that they can help?
We have an email address, phishingaccesshawaii@gmail.com. phishingaccesshawaii@gmail.com. And we also have a phone number, 808-230-3035. 808-230-3035. You can contact us. We will give you our rally statement, what we are protesting about. Because recreational renaissance plan B not only affect fishermen, boaters, tourists, it's dragging the whole Hawaii economy down. Because you're casting tourists away by charging them wherever they go. They go to Pali Lookout, they have to pay. Just there's no restroom there. They had to pay just to stay, at, you know, look at the cliff.
So that's phishingaccess is the email at gmail.com?
phishingaccesshawaii@gmail.com.
And that's spelled out. Okay, so we're going to spell it out for you guys out there. Phishing, F-I-S-H-I-N-G, access, A-C-C-E-S-S. Hawaii is spelled out, H-A-W-A-I-I. @gmail.com, the phone number to call, and you should call soon. Don't wait until the 27th and call, because it takes some planning. You already have a permit to
yes.
have the rally, so yes. it's a legal rally. It's been authorized, 230-3035. So you fishermen out there listening today, please, it's they're not doing it for themselves, so to speak. And I'm not doing it. I don't fish, but it's for you. So if you care, and it's as Jenny has said, if it's not in your backyard today, this is a system now, an institution or a government agency that seems to be eroding away the rights of all of you out there. So boaters, fishermen, if you don't think it's your problem, I'll have another show of you crying and whining again about it. Last month or 2 months ago, hatchery fishing, Nu'uanu Reservoir, and on. So if you don't think it's your problem today, just wait. So, Janet?
Well, the other thing that if people can't make it to the rally on the 28th, it's crucial that that people understand that this is an election year. So your elected representative, be they in the House or the Senate, are very interested in what you are going to say. And if you're if you call your elected official, okay, and tell them that you're a constituent, you will be very surprised this year how interested they will be in what you have to say. They, in turn, can put pressure on the governor or the executive side, in this case, Laura Thielen, because they hold the purse strings. And she has made it quite clear, Laura Thielen has, that she is going to go back to the legislature with a modified Plan A because she wants these additional fees in a kitty that she can now turn to the legislature and say, look, I have this much money in chips and you know, like poker chips. And what I want to do is I want you, the legislature, to allow me to bet. Last year it was get $240 million in bonds. She's going to bet the additional money she gets out of fees to go get, more money via a bonding. And that's what the legislature has to do. They have to okay these bonds. So that's why she wanted to get these fees in place before the next legislative session. People need to call their elected officials, and they can get all that information about who their elected official is on the Capitol website, and that's www.capitol.hawaii, written out, HAWAII.gov, and that'll take you right to the Capitol website, and you can click through and find your legislator. In fact, there's even a little link right there. It says, find your legislator.
I want to talk about the reason why we need to do the rally. Because public opinions are not respected and heard. I want to tell you that there are, for the people attending the public hearings and testimonies, I actually go back and look at each individual's testimonies and hearings. There are 243 local residents and visitors attending public hearings and writing testimonies to against the rule. There are 38 people supportive of the rule. Where does the statement saying that we got overwhelming support from the public came from? They asked the public to give input. We gave input. They did it anyway.
And then,
everybody opposed the rule. They did it anyway. They have their mindset. And actually, personally, I have already sent a bunch of letters to senators and House members. I only got two respond from two senators.
Which ones?
Suzanne Chung Auckland.
Ah, and she's down in Kahilagun.
Senator Norman Sakamoto. They say, oh, Jeannie, we are reading your letters, and thank you for keeping us informed. Keep doing this. But the thing is, where are all other senators and House members? I don't want to say that they don't care. It's just I cannot represent the public. One person writing an email it's interesting, but it doesn't represent the public. But when actually there's a public hearings and testimony, those are totally ignored. So you spend the effort to write the testimonies. You spend the time to go to the hearing. It doesn't matter. That's why we need a rally to demonstrate to people that the public are not fool. We are not easily ignored. This is a statewide impact that the public has right to say something about it.
Okay, so guys, this is in girls and kids and all. This is what's going on. your rights to fishing, and I can tell you, Jeannie and Janet came to me, and they've shared with me, and I've gotten extensive documents. But personally, I'm a little incensed that I all the time I'm approached by the fishermen out there, and they say, "Hey, bro, when are you going to get the Coalina boat ramp restored? Hey, bro, they're taking our fishing rights away at Kaina Point. They won't let us in at Ever Beach and what have you." Well, I'm going to either do one or two things. Start to ignore your pleas or get a bunch of pacifiers, because I know you can do better out there. There's absolutely no way that any of you can say that you love fishing and you respect fishing and you want to take your grandkids and you want to take them fishing, and then you want to sit back and let them eat at your rights to fish. So here's what you can do. If you're ashamed of being out and holding a sign at a protest, and some of you may just be that and may think that it's going to somehow impact your job or your way to heaven or your chances of going to hell and have a good time or whatever, this is what you can do. You have a right. You can telephone your local legislators and tell them what it is that you want them to do. You want them to restore and protect your rights as a fisherman. And then secondly, you want to either phone them or email them. If you don't know their email address, you can phone them and ask them for their email address if you don't want to navigate the internet. Or write and ask for their physical mailing address, the U.S. Postal Mail. But at least do something, because I'm sick and tired of you fishermen being sick and tired and then you do nothing. It's not Jeannie's and Janet's responsibility. I applaud them, and I think they and others that are involved here deserve an accolade. But guys, Laura Thielen is chipping away at you, and the other nonprofit environmental organizations, such as the Pew Foundation. Believe it or not, a lot of that influence is behind the Pew, and there's the Conservation Council. So you better watch out. If you're thinking Santa Claus is coming down the chimney, then you should see what will happen when the devil and Miss Thielen get together and to whittle away your rights here. But anyway, you have something?
You know, when I try to organize for the rally, like I said, I'm just an average fisherman. I got, at the beginning, I got mostly discouragement. One discouragement is from one of my friends from my fishing club. He said, "Jeannie, I think we should stop the rally, because what if we only have five people showing up at the state capitol? We are empowering DLNR, letting them see that the fishermen are not united." And I think about that for a while. I still want to do this. I'm making efforts, sending the information out, but if in the end there are only five people show up, I want to show the fishing community this is our reality. Because we don't take our issues seriously, they don't take our issues seriously. We don't take our fishing assets. If you just don't care, you want to run away and avoid and just, you know, maybe have a friend on the backyard having so you can fish. You don't care about the other assets. That's okay. But the thing is, I want to tell you that I have faith in fishermen, and we have the opportunity. So please come to the rally to support the fishing community and to tell the DLNR.
And the ocean recreation.
Yeah, yeah.
All ocean recreation is, to some degree, under threat of being displaced or being, you know, economically moved off of their lands, because they're not going to be able to afford to get there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they need to start to speak up, and this year is an excellent year to start. There's also, you can participate even from home by using your computer or your kid's computer. Everybody about now has access to the internet to, A, get the information so they understand what they're talking about, mm-hmm. see, what I've discovered, or what I've come to the realization, is most people realize they're getting screwed. What they don't know is how it's happening. And they don't know about the administrative process.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes upon them when they open up the statement and their bill's a lot higher, or a DoCare officer walks up to them and says, you've got to be gone, we've got new rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to understand how, and it's not hard, you know, how your government works.
Mm-hmm.
Because your government's supposed to work for you, and right now it's not doing all of that.
Right. Well, hopefully, I'm going to invite you back next week of Sunday, and you can talk more about this if you want to come back. And this protest is going to be on what date again?
December 28th, Monday, from 4 to 6 p.m.
And
State Capitol.
You at the State Capitol. Where will you be? You want everybody to just meet there at the State Capitol?
Uh-huh.
And bringing only cardboard signs?
That's why we would prefer people call us or email us about their interests. And then we're thinking about some of the signs, for example, recreational renaissance plan. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because there are conditions where you don't want people showing up with sticks and and what have you. So for that purpose, and their message is the general theme is what, real quick, so that they can prepare themselves and know what it is that they're rallying, in a nutshell,
Things such as, we are against Plan B.
Okay.
Okay. That would be short. Listen to the people. That would be another one.
But I mean, the specific issues they're coming down, not the message that they're going to. What are they coming down to protest?
They're coming down to protest how DNLR is overpowering the people
and taking away their rights.
Taking away their rights and okay. To the ocean access and recreational activities.
So voters should be.
Yes.
Okay.
Voters should be involved. Definitely fishermen, because those are the particular groups that are under attack right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets their day under the microscope of DNLR,
okay.
Because they handle all public lands.
Mm-hmm.
That's their area of responsibility.
Well, anyway, thank you. And
thank you again.
Next week, you're welcome to come back on Sunday morning, and we'll be live if you want to. And if you send an email out there, guys, or a letter, share that with them. And you can send these guys an email to Janet and Jeannie at Fishing Access Hawaii, then spell out Hawaii, at gmail.com. Or you can call 230-3035. No excuses, guys. If you can't get access to fishing, then stay at home, wrap your poles, sharpen your hooks, because that's about all you'll have to do with fishing any longer at the current pace. So this is the Carol Cox Show, and thank you for joining in on the podcast here and at KWAI. So next Sunday, we will discuss this, or I will be, and I want to thank Janet Mandrell.